May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The screenwriter Abby Morgan says of her latest film, Suffragette, "These were voiceless women. We gave them a voice." The dramatization of a story we know is shocking. We glimpse Emmeline Pankhurst emerging from hiding to give a defiant speech. We follow Emily Davison to the Derby before newsreel of her funeral draws the film to a close. Their narratives are familiar to us. We have their words. However, the decision to use the fictional Maud and Alice, Edith and Violet, gives the film a heartbeat of ordinariness, which intensifies the impact of historic moments. Their testimonies were transcribed by others. Their destinies were mapped out by others. The shock of their stories sees the dangerous drudgery of laundries, the use of photographic surveillance, the violation of force feeding, the disruption of family life as a result of detention, the incremental radicalization of some, and police brutality. Alongside the shifting dynamics of female friendship, we see the fear and suspicion pervading communities. And therein lies the second shock. For the rhetoric is all too contemporary, gathering intelligence, maintaining civil stability, threats to security, the tension between them and us, choices between words and deeds. News headlines still seek to categorise and divide the worker or shirker, refugee or migrant, Christian or Muslim, unions or government, civil liberty or civil disobedience, the right to privacy or the need for surveillance. All those themes are things which we seek to explore in our Proclaiming Liberty series. Are there voices in our society which repeat the refrain of Isaiah? Voices crying out, "We wait for justice, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off." Isaiah describes a society which is a long way from the vision of God's kingdom, shaped by the right judgment of God's love and faithfulness. Justice and righteousness are out of reach. People wait for the light, yet they're left stumbling in the gloom. There is oppression and revolt. Speech has become dishonest. Isaiah captures the cries of our humanity. How often do we cry out to God for ourselves or for others? We hear the cries of junior doctors or steel workers, the elderly and those who care for them, the jobless and the overworked, the pensioner and the student. Open any newspaper today, and those cries are heard across the globe, from the victims of gun crime in the States to the plight of factory workers in China. If we listen carefully to Isaiah, we hear words of challenge. He gives voice to the consequences of sin. That is the shorthand for all that separates us from each other, for all that separates us from God. The voice seeking justice also cries out that our transgressions are many, that sin testifies against us, that we know our iniquities. Sin is a result of turning away from God. It's a denial of God's will and purpose for us. It's the choice to follow our own devices and desires, even when they exploit or dehumanize others. The confession at the heart of Isaiah is honest about our human condition. Because we're human, sometimes we're motivated by self-interest or fear. When we fail to put God's love at the centre of our lives, individually and corporately, we experience fragmentation and alienation at every level. But that's not God's will for us. Because we're human, we still look for light and long for justice. For we are created in God's image and blessed with the gift of freedom, that we might be a blessing to others. The confession at the heart of Isaiah is honest about God's power to draw us back into right relationship. When we lack the courage to plead for truth or fail to stand up for justice, God himself acts. Through the words of his prophet, we hear the divine expression of displeasure, but also the promise of redemption, one who will bring us back and restore us. The imagery is of might and strength. We're called back to God's commandments to love him and to uphold his righteousness in our dealings with others. We're forgiven that, in the words of our anthem, we may decline from sin and incline to virtue. The name of the Lord is glorious, the source of light and peace, hope and righteousness. That hope writ large is that East and West will turn back to God, aware of the self-deception of human pride. Yet we know that amongst the nations and in the outworking of our lives, things still go awry. And yet we continue to thirst for justice, for the manifestation of righteousness. We continue to seek after truth. God's response to us is to fulfill the promise of redemption in his Son, Jesus Christ, his love made perfect in human weakness. By drawing near to us, he restores our centre of gravity. He invites us to live in response to his generous love. We do so not because of obedience to the law, but because of our relationship to Jesus. We still grapple with the complexity of life, with the cries for affirmation, forgiveness, and justice. But in Christ, we are called to be part of the solution, seeking to build the kingdom of God here on earth. In Luke's gospel, we catch a glimpse of what that might look like. What happens when we put God centre stage rather than self? Jesus draws us into the radical demands of the law of love. He looks at the person in need and hears his cry. He brings healing and restoration. He challenges us to see the gift of the law as a way of responding to human need in love, rather than a mechanism to isolate us from their demands. Silence and disengagement leads to a profound teaching about the nature of discipleship. He plays to our human instinct about social embarrassment, awkwardness, and shame. Rather than occupying positions of entitlement or having pride in our own status, we're called to make space for others. Our autumn series of lectures are a way of making space for conversation, relationship, understanding, and action. As we say, come, Holy Spirit, kindle in us a love of God's kingdom. The cost of that kingdom is played out in all sorts of ways. It's played out in the sorrow expressed to those who've been victims of abuse in the church. It's reflected in our concerns to make our churches safe places for the most vulnerable. And as we learnt in Thursday's lecture, it's revealed when we draw attention to victims of trafficking, when we act to shine light into the darkness. It is the power of God's Spirit at work in us and in God's world that moves us towards a closer approximation of God's kingdom. May justice, truth, and righteousness reign. May we walk in a perfect heart. So let us pray. O God, whose Son Jesus Christ cared for the welfare of everyone and went about doing good to all, grant us the imagination and resolution to create in this country and throughout the world a just social order. Make us agents of your compassion to the suffering, the persecuted, and the oppressed. Through the Spirit of your Son, who shared the sufferings of humanity, our pattern and redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.